I have one of the bulletins that or articles that I get on a daily basis. The writer actually started doing a series on foundations, and that's what struck me for today's lessons here, is what foundations is our religion based on? And in reality, this lesson is about the mind of God. And the very foundation of what we do is that this book, which is God's mind revealed to us. And the scripture reading I chose this morning, Bruce read the correct one because I did it off the top of my head. I typoed this one. It should have been 1 Corinthians chapter 2, but that's okay. That was my mistake. But knowing the mind of God, if you want to mark a place in your Bible that has a profound statement, this is it to me. When we talk about God's revealed word, how we got it, and what the quality of it is, what the content of it is, and our place, 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and 3 touch on several points that are just foundational for us. And Ken Weliever, I think, says, I can't pronounce his last name, but his first article was, starting with foundations, is, this is a Bible. And that's kind of what this is about. This is God's mind. This is the foundation of what we do. And so this is a very foundational lesson, a very principled lesson. Again, if I was, for me, it's a place that I have bookmarked in my mind to go to that encompasses so many important foundational concepts about how we view life and how we view our revealed word here. So let's take a minute and go through this and look at this. Paul used, in writing to Timothy, he used some words that I really love that accentuates this. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul wrote, all scripture is inspired by God. God inspired, and literally it means God breathed out. Exhalado in Spanish. It's breathed, God breathed these words is how he defined that with Timothy. And that's what we're going to see here in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, how this God-breathing took place. How was it transmitted to man? And so I broke this passage down in a couple of different sections as we'll look as we step through it. So in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 9 through 11, let's relook at those again. Okay, in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, starting in verse 9, as it is written, the things which, and I'm reading from the New American Standard, the things which your eye has not seen and ear has not heard, and which have not entered the heart of man, all of that God has prepared for those who loved him. For to us God revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For who among men knows the thoughts of a man, except the spirit of the man that is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows except the Spirit of God. So here we have that no man can know the mind of God. It is not within our ability. We are not capable of knowing the mind of God. It's like saying, you read my mind right now. What am I thinking? You probably take some good guesses. I'm starting to get a little hungry. It's 11 o'clock. I started getting hungry about 11 o'clock, right? You might read some things from my facial expression. But how do you know what I'm really thinking? Well, you don't, do you? You really can't read my mind. If we could read people's mind, how much easier would trials be, right? I don't know if anybody's ever served on a jury trial before. You ever really wondered what the person who was being convicted or accused, what they really thought, what was really on their mind? Wouldn't it be great to know that? Of course, we're not qualified to know those things, right? We don't need to know. We can't know those things. We're not qualified. God is, but we cannot. And that's what Paul's saying here. Look, we don't know what's in God's mind because we're not capable. We're not given that. Jeremiah spoke of that. He says, "Lord, I know it is not within man that walks to direct his own footsteps. It is not within us to give ourselves direction." We don't know those things. Jeremiah wrote that in Jeremiah 10:23. And Isaiah 55, verses 8 through 11, speaks of the same things, where God says, "My thoughts are not your thoughts, My ways are not your ways. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways your ways, and my thoughts and your thoughts. The idea is we are human. We live in a carnal world. We are carnal. We have our physical body, and our physical bodies are in this world, and we're not eternal. We're not God. All those things. So we're not capable. And so one of the foundational principles is we're not able of our own mind to conjure these things. We're not of our mind to make decisions about these things. Our logic and reasoning does not help us with this. We have to go with what God has given us. And Peter even mentions that these things were obscure even to angels. Angels don't originate these things. And so that's 1 Peter 2, 1, 9 through 12 speaks of that. And then he goes on and explains that, look, we are not capable, but, I'll continue reading there, we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit that is from God. So back in verse 10, God has revealed them to us through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. The Spirit does this. And Paul says, we have received this Spirit. Not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. So that we may know the things freely given us by God. And the things we also speak. Not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts with spiritual words. Paul says, we've received that. And it's not of our own doing. How did the apostles receive it? The Holy Spirit revealed it to them. Not only that, it says, King James says they were taught that. The Spirit teaches them. So the apostles were given that. And of those things that they were taught, and heard and become to know through the Spirit, they revealed. They gave them, and they spoke those things, and they taught those things, and he wrote those things. Again, so this whole foundation of what we do, the apostles were given this miraculous knowledge, basically. And it's a fulfilled prophecy in John 14 or John 16. Jesus promises his closest disciples, look, the Spirit's going to come. And he's going to reveal all truth to you. And we see the fulfillment of that beginning in Acts chapter 2, in the day of Pentecost, right? So we're not going to go through all those, but we see that fulfilled. It was prophesied and fulfilled. They had the Spirit of God in them so that they could know the mind of God. And that was what they revealed, and that's what they taught. And this secular wisdom is not of God. Realizing in a culture that was full of idolatry and philosophers, what do we do with those? Okay, we're going to disciple you, Paul. We're going to disciple God through you, Paul. You give us the word, but what about all this other information that's out there? Right? There's a lot of other things out there. In 1 Corinthians 2, verse 14 and 15. Verse 16 I meant to put there. But a natural man does not accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him. The natural man is described here, okay? He cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned or appraised. Verse 15, but he who is spiritually discerned or appraises all things or discerns all things, yet he himself is appraised by no one. For who has known the mind of the Lord that we will instruct him? We have the mind of Christ. And so Paul's speaking here. The King James uses the word judges. And so the King James says, the natural man receives not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolish to him. Neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned. But he that is spiritual judges all things, but he has judged no man. And so here, the secular wisdom is not of God. It's not originated from God. And yeah, there's going to be some fanciful stuff that in the world we'll hear. There'll be reasoning that discounts and says this can't be true, can't be right. Paul says, look, God has told us these things. God has revealed them to us. And no man can say he knows the mind of God, because no man does unless the Spirit's given it to him. And these guys in the world who say that they're all wise, and there's all these schools in that day that people would disciple and said this man has the truth, and this other man has the truth. And well, the Greeks have the real truth. Who do we go to? And it's God. And these people who follow secular wisdom will be caught up in that philosophy, and they won't seek God. They won't look for God. They won't follow that. And many people, even today, right? They seek meaning of life from other people, from philosophers and from fanciful ideas and concepts that are not biblical. And those have no place. They won't coexist. There's meaning is not found there, right? So it's not found in the philosophers of their day, the Greek philosophers or the Egyptian philosophers or those in Rome, the Roman philosophers, and whatever nation, Babylon, whatever nations out there. They all had smart people in worldly terms, or at least in their age. The Jewish rabbis didn't have it. Where does the wisdom come from? It comes from God through His Spirit that reads God's mind and reveals God's mind to these apostles. Not from these guys that are philosophers. Not from the Jewish rabbis. But these were likely the opponents of these Christians externally, that were challenging them externally. Even throw in there the religious practices of idolatry worship. Right? They have no place. There's no truth in that. The truth comes from God through the apostles. And so if we continue on then in chapter 3, we've not read this yet. So this is the message to them. Again, and this sets so much of the foundation of how we view our Bibles and who we are. So 1 Corinthians chapter 3 now. Let's read verse 1 through 4. And I, brethren, could not speak unto you as spiritual men, but to, as to men of flesh or carnal, as to infants in Christ. I gave you milk to drink, not solid food, for you were not able to receive it. Indeed, even now you are not yet able, for you are still carnal or fleshly, as the New American Standard says. For since there is jealousy and strife among you, are you not carnal, and are you not walking like mere men? For when one says, I am a Paul, and another says, I am Apollos, are you not mere men? What then is Apollos, and what is Paul, but servants through whom you believe, even as the Lord gave opportunity to each one of you? And I know I read this verse there, and I want to keep reading there, but the point is, look, Paul tells them and instructs them, be warned, be cautious. When it comes to knowing God's Word, there's a lot more you don't know yet. And the reason you don't know those things yet is because you are carnal or fleshly. And the idea here is not that we still live in the flesh. These were still human beings. And they're still Christians. But they're not spiritually minded yet. And their flaw is that they're carnally minded. They had the works of the flesh, is another word we would use, that Paul used. Their core problem at Corinth, and this is something Mark has been teaching us through on Wednesday nights. We've gone going through this book. And you want to look at a church that has struggled with these things, with divisions. This is Corinth. They dealt with jealousy, and they were quarreling, and it produced divisions among them. That was one sign that they were carnal. There could be others. That's not the extent of what the works of the flesh would be, the carnality of a Christian could be. But this was the ones he pointed out that highlighted. They were jealous of each other. They were quarreling among each other. There were divisions among each other. What did that do? That limited their mind. That limited their ability to understand the truth. That limited what Paul could teach them. It limited them. And reality is, it's core problem of humanity, right? Even just having the drive for the physical, right? The drive for comfort. We talked about that last week. Our vision that we have and our focus that we have is our vision on the worldly things, on the physical that we can touch and feel and give us comfort. Is that where our focus is? Is our sight blinded? Is our sight obscured? I tell you right now, if I take my glasses off, my vision is obscured. You are all blurry now. These words are blurry. I'm not sure I can even read those words right now because my vision is not proper. My vision is skewed. Their vision was skewed. They could not see well because they were carnal. The truth was still the truth, but they couldn't see it. Paul couldn't even teach it all to them yet. They were at such a point, and he calls them infants or babes in Christ, immature Christians nonetheless, but they were immature. They didn't have the ability to learn that yet. Why? Because they were still carnal. The sign of their carnality was that they were jealous of one another. They were quarreling among each other. There were divisions among them. That was a sign that they were immature. To resolve that, was a maturing process, and it allowed them to see better. It gave them the right focus. It gave them the right focus. So as we think of the mind of God, this scripture sets and defines so many aspects that are important. It's just a great place to go. It's just like the 2 Timothy 3:16-17. You know, the word is God-breathed. All scripture is God-breathed. All scripture is inspired by God. That's a foundation. We've learned that, memorized that one probably for a long time in our life. Well, this section of scripture to me is one of those foundational passages. It puts it all in the package together. We can't know the mind of God no more than you can know what I'm thinking right now. Except that I tell you, and I, you know, quite honestly, sometimes I don't know what I'm thinking. Right? The apostles were given the mind of God. The Spirit searched the mind of God and revealed those things to them, so they knew those things, and they took those things and they taught others. They spoke it, they wrote it down, they instructed others, they inspired others to follow it. So they revealed these things to other people. So through them, we can know the mind of God today. We don't know the mind of God through secular wisdom, through secular writings, through following the Greek mythology or Greek, any other external sources are not there. The Jews don't have that. That God has it through apostles, through Jesus' apostles. They were the Word of God, the mind of God revealed through the Spirit. But there's still an issue for us as Christians. Take note. If we're carnally minded, we still haven't learned it yet. We haven't got there yet. We haven't progressed to where we can know everything, even to know everything, to know, even know what we need to know. There's a progression process here. As long as we're carnally minded, we're going to be weak. We're going to lack things. We're going to lack understanding. We're going to lack discernment. We're not going to see correctly. We got to put on our spiritual lenses that the spiritual mind gives us to see correctly. That's right. So, as we think about lessons to apply to us today, all Scripture is breathed out by God. I love the way the English Standard writes that, and that's literally what that passage says. 2 Timothy 3:16, all Scripture is breathed out by God. And what is it good for? For correction, or for teaching, for reproof, for correction, for training in righteousness, that makes us complete and equipped for every good work. It does that. It's the revealed mind of God. God, literally God breathed. There was this meme here. Now, I think this is important because I'm going to tie this back around as we've gone through the Sermon on the Mount. We're coming up on chapter 7. And deal with judging. Okay? So think about this. I like this because it makes the point that I want to make and one of pet peeves of mine. The Bible is not as a magnifying glass to examine others, but it's a mirror to look at our own heart. Right? So it is God breathed. It is for us to use to look at ourselves. We are warned about how we use that in Galatians 6 verse 1. You who are spiritual, be warned. And when you go to help others, you who are spiritual, restore a one in a spirit of gentleness, looking at yourself so that you also will not be tempted to sin. The Bible is a book to examine ourselves, not to tear everybody else apart. It's not a magnifying, especially magnifying glass. And we're going to talk about that on judging. There's some things I want to say about that to cover, and we'll cover that later. So I had to throw that in here for our lesson today. It is God-breathed, but it has a purpose, right? It's for us. The Corinthians needed to use it to grow and mature, and we do too. And that's this note about the lesson on Sermon on the Mount coming up. Foundational. If we are carnal, we don't understand everything. We cannot discern everything correctly. We will not discern everything correctly. Our vision will be skewed. All knowledge is not equal. Right? All knowledge is not equal. If we are carnally minded, our vision is skewed. Our knowledge is going to be distorted because we are looking with a carnal mind. We need a spiritual mind. And what does that mean? What does it mean to have a spiritual mind? Well, in the Corinthian case there in chapter 3, there were strife or quarreling. and there were divisions, and there was jealousy. And you go to Galatians chapter 5, no doubt there's a couple of those in there, and a lot more. We're not going to read those today, but know that those things have to be removed from our life, or we don't see correctly. Otherwise, because those things will distort and skew, it will affect our discernment, it will affect our comprehension. It will keep us, our carnal mind keeps us as an infant in Christ, and things that we cannot understand until we evict them from our lives, evict them from our heart. And more enlightenment can come from Scripture. More enlightenment can come from the teachings that Paul has offered. So a very important thing for us. And finally, another meme. Well, until this time, I was not stressed about, I didn't pull this down far enough. But few of us have worked in the software business. I love this quote because it is so accurate. In this case, you see the comment is, you know, looking at the book. It's called reading, which, by the way, I'm not good at. I'm not a good reader. Don't think I'm a reader. I'm not. I'm not a book reader. I just don't. I can study some. I have a limited ability to study. But it's how we install new software in their brains. Well, isn't that the idea of spirituality? If we are producing fruit of the Spirit, we reprogram our software and remove the carnal mind that thinks carnally, in this case, quarreling and disputing and envying, so it reloads a different software. We realize that if we have a software program running that's got bad code in it, that code that has not produced the accurate results, then that's what we're not going to get. We're not going to get accurate results. And that's to me, that's a great meme for us to consider. As we study, we install new software. Part of that in our own action is to remove those works of the flesh, and to put and to be spirit. I'm sorry, to be fruit bearing in our lives, spiritual fruit bearing in our lives, and that's what we're called to do. And that installs new software as well, not just reading, but also changing our lives, changing our behavior, changing our hearts, changing our attitudes. And so very, very important for us. Well, I hope the lesson is beneficial to you. Mark this in your Bibles. One of the core passages, if you want something that you like to go to frequently, this is one of those. 1 Corinthians 2, 9 through 15, and on into chapter 3, verses 4, 6, following there as well. Are you a Christian? You know, the Corinthians were Christians. It didn't make them perfect, but they were Christians. They acknowledged that Jesus was the Messiah. They acknowledged Jesus had the words of eternal life. They acknowledged Jesus was key to these things. And the apostles were taught to make disciples of Jesus. And part of that was baptizing them. We would baptize you this morning and be glad to if you wish to do that. And if you've been baptized, maybe like the Corinthians, there's some of this that bothers you that maybe we can help you or we can pray for you. We want to know those things. Would you let us know as we sing the song that Dennis has selected, number 595, Blessed are they who do his commandments. Stand while we sing.